So we see here in Revelation 15, starting in verse 2, that these are first fruits. These are first fruits, and they're up on this sea of glass, and they had gotten the victory over the beast. So they've gotten the victory over the Satan. And that is, brethren, when you are baptized, when you receive and are sealed with that Holy Spirit, you have gotten the victory over the beast. He can harm you no more. Unfortunately, we'll continue to sin and have that pushed upon us, but he will not have the victory. We have the victory, and we will be in that. And then it says, the beast, and over his image is everything that he is, and over his mark, and over the number. Remember, this name can be name or names. We know now that it's names. So to read that properly is over the number of his names. And they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. What are the harps of God? Turn over there, right back to Revelation 14. This is where the 144,000, this is where the first fruits are going to be standing, and this is in that image. And this is before the vials are poured out. This is before that end time, and they're standing on that sea of glass in heaven. They're not standing on the earth around Jerusalem helping God or helping Christ set up some little Mickey Mouse kingdom down here that is utterly going to fail, that we were taught about. Get those Holy Day tapes so you really know the plan, and get the, if you haven't heard, The Light, the album The Light that goes through the true plan of salvation, by all means, quickly send in for that so you understand what we're talking about. But here in Revelation, we'll just start to read here in Revelation 14, and this is talking about the first fruits. This is what's going to happen. And I want to identify these and make sure that you know these are the ones standing on the sea of glass. It's important to understand this fact. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they, who? And they, the ones that had all the harps too. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. Now these are these heavenly beasts that are around the throne. And the elders, those 24 elders, and no man, and in this case is any man or angel or anyone, could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed or bought with a special price from the earth, Christ's death. These are they which were not defiled with women, religious stuff, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. And we know that they're on the sea of glass before the throne, because that's where Christ is. That's where the Lamb is. These were redeemed, bought with a special price from among men. And in this case it is men. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. These, brethren, are the 144,000. And here they are, when you read this in context, in Revelation 15, verse 2, you will find that in context, in the way that we have explained this, that this is way before the end time, before Armageddon, before the day of the Lord. and they are standing in heaven on the sea of glass, being the 144,000, with those harps in front of God. And they, and we, actually, will have gotten the victory, as we do already, over that beast, over Satan, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his names. Brethren, that's important. They are the only ones that do not bear his name, or any one of these names. They are the only ones to have come out from under his dominion, out from under his name, and all these different respective names that he has. They are the only ones that are no longer his children. These are the first fruits of God. They are the 144,000. The names of Satan cover everything that he is. He has different names for different kingdoms. And this is the way that God refers to him in all throughout the Bible, which we're going to see right now. He has different names for different kingdoms, different peoples, tongues, cultures, philosophies, religions. Pardon me. Any and everything that is associated with this world. His names are splashed everywhere throughout the entire Bible. And we're going to go through and read about just a few. And then you can continue on studying. What you want to send in for, because it goes through a lot of this. And we took, how many sermons? I think 6 sermons. Send in for the life, or Satan's life and death. Satan's life and death. And we expose Satan for who he is and what he is and where he is. That is our job. Obviously, no one else has been doing that one. No one else was given that job. That's why we sat within the church with the man of sin in the church, even though it was God's church, and we were learning some truth. And that was good, and that's what we stand on today. We also sat in darkness to a great extent with Satan's counterfeit. And now we are not. And now we are rooting that out through the power of God and through the revelations that God has given to show who this snake really is. So let's go through a couple of these scriptures. We will turn to a few, and I will quote most of them, just so you have a record, at least on this tape, and then you can send in for the article as well and get it in printed form, The Mystery of 666. Over in 2 Corinthians 4, we just want to read a few. These are familiar to us. But there may be new people too. And maybe they haven't read some of this and gotten this in context. So in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Now here's another name. These are all names. This is how God refers to Satan. So this is what you want to start to zero in on your mind and start to think when we go through these scriptures. These are all his names. This is how God refers to Satan, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Anyone who is not a first fruit, he's blinded them, lest the light... That's why we call that album The Light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the true gospel of peace, who is the image of God, should shine unto them And Satan has kept this world in darkness. And when God refers to him, he says, that God of the world is another name for him. Now we'll quote these, or you can look these up, of course, in John. I'll give you three scriptures, because they all say the same thing. A little differently, but the main phrase is there. John 12, verse 31. Then in John 14, verse 30. And John 16, verse 11. It's important that you have these scriptures and look these up. It talks about Satan being the prince of the world. There's another name. He calls him a prince of the world. We'll look up this one, Ephesians 2. Let's turn over there. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. And didn't we all? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So that one scripture kind of sums up a lot of the different things we've been saying here. It's according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And that's here on this earth today. So there's another name God refers to him as, the prince of the power of the air. We'll give you these next few in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He talks about Satan himself being the angel of light. There's another name. He's an angel of light. Then over in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he talks about the devil. The devil going around like a roaring lion. So God refers to him as a roaring lion or a lion. You see, we're starting to build this list already. How God always refers to him. And in Luke 22, verse 53, he talks about Satan being, another name, power of darkness. He's the power of darkness. See, already we've got God of the world, prince of the power of the air, the angel of light. He's a roaring lion. He's the power of darkness. See how many names that God gave him and how God refers to him? We'll turn to this because it's one of my favorites. So I guess you're stuck with it. Hebrews 2. It just sums up this world. It sums up his thing so well. And it tells exactly what's going on. Another name in here. But it talks about what mankind, all of us, have gone through our whole life. Until we were saved by Jesus Christ. And called and made first fruits. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. Another name. He refers to him as the power of death. Who is the devil? Now here's what's happened to everyone on this earth. And deliver them who through fear of death, who fear of this wicked angel, were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. And brethren, that is what we came out of. We have come out of that bondage. We've come out of his counterfeit. So that we can see the light of day and we can see the light of Christ. It's not Protestant talk anymore. It's the truth. Because we really see it. We understand it. So it refers to Satan there as the power of death. Over in John 8:44, he refers to Satan as a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Another names, some more names. Now back here, let's turn to this very quickly. Back in Isaiah 14. Fairly familiar scripture. Some more names he has here. Isaiah 14, verse 4. He's always talking about Satan. These are not the physical beings. These are the one behind the physical. This is the one who has the power and sets this up and works through human beings. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. And it is Babylon. He's the king of Babylon. I don't have time to read all this in context and go through this. But he refers to Satan. And this is what he's talking about. He's another name. He refers to him as a king of Babylon. And it's interesting that throughout when he talks about the king of Egypt, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon. These are all these different heads of the beast. In verse 5, he goes on, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked. So obviously he's talking about Satan. And the scepter of the rulers. It's another name. The staff of the wicked. Scepter of the rulers. That's how he refers to them. Once you start to see these names, the whole Bible opens up. And you start to see that God's talking about Satan and what he's going to do to Satan and how he's not going to let Satan get away with this, and that it all was in the plan, in his plan from the beginning. We're going to be looking at this later, but I'll give it to you now. In Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Wait a minute, I forgot one verse here. Back here in Isaiah 14, verse 12. The main verse, I forgot. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Well, there's another name. Son of the morning. Another one. How art thou cut down to the ground? See? And it talks about him later here. You can go ahead. I don't have the time to go through this. But it talks about him, the son of the morning star, and then what he's going to be doing to Satan. Over in, and I'll just quote this, just for some names. We'll be reading this a little later. In Ezekiel 28:2, he talks about Satan as the prince of Tyrus. Now, there was some confusion about this within the church. And I think they used to say, well, if it says the king of Tyrus, then it's Satan. But if it's a prince, oh, then it's a human being. Well, that was a bunch of bull. Because they didn't know Satan. And they were sitting in that counterfeit. And they were sitting in the darkness. And Satan didn't want himself to be exposed, did he? No, no. You'll see that it's very, very interchangeable. And I've got a couple of scriptures quickly on that later. Not too much later, because I'm running out of time. So in Ezekiel 28:2, he calls him the Prince of Tyrus. And then in verse 12, he calls him the King of Tyrus. And in 14, he calls him that anointed cherub. There's three more names. Then in Ezekiel 29... and you can really read most of the chapter between 1 through 12. But specifically in verse 3, he calls Satan. And you'll see the timing and everything in this when you read that. He calls him Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon. Another name. In Jeremiah 51, verse 44, he refers to him as Bel. Bel in Babylon. You know, every time I read that, I think of the Beauty and the Beast, because that little girl there running around, her name was Bel. That's the only one I've ever known of the name Bel. Except this guy, Satan, the name Bel. He calls him Bel. I was going to read a few more of these, but I have some others I do need to read. I'm just going to continue to quote these. You know how I over-prepare. But God is so thorough in the Bible, it's hard to cut things out of it. Okay, in Haggai. In Haggai 2, verse 22 and 23, he calls him the throne of kingdoms, the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. Now there's two more. Now I realize I'm going through this fast, so it's probably best just to write down these things and look them up later. Job, this is a beautiful example. Job 41. Frankly, all the way through that chapter, it's talking about Leviathan. Leviathan. And in verse 34, he says, he's the king of pride. And this isn't some whale, like the references will tell you. This is Satan. Read it. It's Satan. It describes Satan. And he calls him Leviathan. Here's a couple that we already know. Revelation 12:3. He says he's the red dragon with seven heads. There's another name. And Revelation 20, verse 2, calls him the dragon. He calls him the serpent. He calls him Satan. He calls him the devil. These are all names. So you got a whole bunch of names already, don't we? Psalms 40 or 74, verse 14. He speaks there about he breaks the heads of Leviathan. Because God is going to break those heads, isn't he? Then here's a few in Isaiah again. Isaiah 24, verse 21, says the host, he calls them the host of the high ones. These are the kings of the earth. These are all Satan's beings here and what he's doing. In Isaiah 25, verse 4, he calls them the blast of terrible ones. And in verse 5, he refers to him again as the branch of terrible ones. In Isaiah 29, verse 20, he calls him the terrible one, which he is going to be brought to naught. He's going to bring him down and destroy him. And then just two more here. He also refers to him as something else. In 1 John 2:22. He talks about the Antichrist. This is Satan. The Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. And in 1 John 4:3, he talks about him being the spirit of Antichrist that doesn't believe that Christ came in the flesh. He has the whole Jewish nation believing that, doesn't he? Now, there's many names. I know I went through that fairly fast, but at least we have it on record, we have it on tape, and you have it in your notes. And when you receive that the article, The Mystery of 666, all of these will be in that. He has other names. The Beast of the Field. He calls him the Beast of the Field. He calls him a tree. I'm going to give a sermon shortly on that, just by using the word trees and show you how he shows how Satan is all of these things. The cedars in Eden. He calls them not only tree, but trees. He calls them the rich man of the earth. calls them hypocrites, workers of iniquity, wicked men, wicked angel, man of the earth, the angel of the earth. See, when you know how to translate that man and say it's the angel of the earth, you know exactly who he's talking about. He calls him the enemy of God, and many, many more. Many, many more. He also says that he is the crown of pride. He's the crown of pride spoken of in Isaiah 28, verses 1 and 3. You know, he is the most proud that God is addressing here in Jeremiah 50, verse 32. And God tells us what he will do to him. And we're going to turn to that. What does he do to this one that has 666 names that God calls him? What does he do to him? What's going to happen to him? Isaiah 27. You know, God does expose Satan for what and who he is. And he will destroy him. You write in for that, Satan's life and death. You will find it amazing, amazing. Okay, Isaiah 27, verse 1. He says, In that day the Lord will, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan. We know that's Satan. The piercing serpent, another name, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. He's going to slay him, brethren. That's what he's going to do to him. He's going to kill him, destroy him forever. You know, this. I said this before about the title, the princes and the kings, and they are used very interchangeable. Another, just a reference. Isaiah 10:8, it talks about, are not my princes altogether kings? And in Isaiah 23, verse 8, he talks about the merchants. The merchants are princes. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 27. Ezekiel 27, verse 2. So you're just starting there. He says, and he's talking about these merchants and these different names. And you better have this in your mind when you go into Revelation, because Revelation talks a lot about these merchants and all through the Old Testament. When he's talking about at the end, in the day of the Lord. He says, now thou, son, take up lamentations for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art, let's see, in the entry in the sea, art thou a merchant of the people? For many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus. And he's talking about Satan here. He says, Tyrus says, I am of perfect beauty. Now, who said that? We know who said that. And all the way down here, we just don't have the time to read this, but from verses 4 all the way through 15, he talks about and he hits these nations. And he talks about all these different, every time he talks about these different nations. These are all satanic nations. In verse 6, he talks about the oaks of Bashan. There's another name that he uses. And all the way through, he talks about Egypt and Zidon and all these other names that some of them are very hard to pronounce. You can read those later. You know, if he just used Los Angeles and Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C., those are familiar to us. But those are all names too, if you really want to know. But he doesn't refer to them in the Bible that way, but those are, of course, all under him. Talks about Tarshish over in verse 12. And you're going to have to go through and read this. I was going to read some of this, but we just don't have the time. But he talks about all of these. And all of these nations, when you read, there must be 25, 30 names of different nations. Those are all names of Satan. And as you get into this, and as you hear that tape on Satan's life and death, the whole Bible is going, oh, that's what he's talking about. I always was putting it toward men. Oh, I see, he's putting it toward Satan and what he is doing. And at the end here of that chapter, starting in verse 34, he tells you what's going to happen to him too, and their end. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the water, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants, all the habitations of the isle shall be astonished at you, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance, and the merchants among the people shall hiss at you. You know, you shall be a terror, and never shall be any more. And that, of course, is describing that day of the Lord when he gives over to the beast the power of all these nations. In, since we're in Ezekiel here, in Ezekiel 28, next chapter here, verse 2, he talks about him. And he says, Son of man, or this angel, say unto the prince of Tyrus, who is of course Satan, thus saith the Lord God, because you have lifted up, you know, your heart has lifted up, and you have said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God, and in the midst of the seas. He says, yet you art a man. No, he says, yet you are an angel. You are an angel and not God. You're just an angel. You're not God. Who do you think you are? See, that's what God is saying. Though you have set your heart as the heart of God. He tried to be God. He tried to counterfeit himself into all of this. And all he was an angel. In verse 10, or verse 12, I'm hurrying and getting mixed up here. He talks about him as the king of Tyrus. And he says, you sealed up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And he says, you were in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, see? And every precious stone for a covering. He says, you were all there the day you were created. But he says that you were an anointed, in verse 14, he says, you were an anointed cherub, covering up all of this. But when you read on in verse 15, he says that you are perfect until the day that iniquity was found in you. And he talks about the multitude of the merchandising. And he says in verse 16, he says, and I will destroy you, you covering cherub, in the midst of the stones of fire. He's not messing around here. It says your heart was lifted up because of your beauty and all of that. I'm looking for a particular, here it is in verse 18. He goes on about halfway through here. He says, "For therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you." And he's talking about Satan. "And I will bring you to ashes." Ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them. They'll all know you. and you continue on there in verse 19. He's going to bring Satan down, he's going to kill him, and he's going to bring him to ashes. And it is God that's going to do that. Now, how he's going to accomplish all that, I don't question him. I just believe what he says. And you will get that album on the Satan's life and death, and you will see that. And he shall never be any more. He'll never be any more. That's what it says in verse 19. It's going to be gone. All these names God has for Satan. Now, one very interesting chapter, this you'll have to read, is Jeremiah 25. Verses anywhere from 15 through 38. These are all these nations. These are all the all Satan's world. And they're all brought down. This is the day of the Lord. It's after the 1,000-year period. And you can also read in a reference in Revelation 18, verse 3, it's talking about the day of the Lord, and this is after the 1,000-year period. And he talks about, in verse 2, he talks about Babylon is fallen. This is this great thing that Satan has had on this earth with all these different names. And you'll read through this chapter about the kings and the merchants in verse 3. And in verse 11, the merchants of the earth. These are all Satan's. This is Satan's world at the end. And the merchants all be made rich by her, Satan's Babylon. What describes them in verse 23 and 24 talks about by sorceries, sorcerers and sorceries, all the nations were deceived. That's his world, and it is Satan's fault. And these are all the different names that he has for him. Let's just turn back for one more scripture back here in Revelation 17. With all the names, with all the blasphemies, with all of everything that he has done and put on this earth, brethren, I think that we're giving you at least a picture here to begin to show you what this thing is. In Revelation 17, verse 3, says so, and this is in the midst of something here he's doing in this vision. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy. We just read a few today. I gave you a few scriptures, and we could barely get it in just by quoting. Having the seven heads and 10 horns. You know, what a marvelous thing when we do hear that angel say, Babylon, Babylon is fallen. That is going to be very, very nice. You know, many times it seems as though the Bible is speaking of different individuals and isolated situations in human history. You know, but it really is not. It isn't. It's all Satan. The Bible is simply referring to him by his many, many names. And we confused it. We blamed man. This is his world. He is the king. Everything is in his name. He is the enemy, the adversary, the destroyer, the oppressor, the wicked one, the terrible one. He is that horrible beast of Revelation that all the world worships. He is the God of this world. There is only one that can and will bring him down, and that is the Father himself. You know, we have to go back and leave you with the scripture we started with in Revelation 13:18. Now with a little background, now with a little insight, hopefully the Holy Spirit working within your mind, we can read and we can understand this. Here is wisdom, which only comes by the Spirit of God. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, translated angel. It is the number of an angel, and his name is 666. His name is 666. That's what his number is, rather. And we know who he is. You know, will you be able to count up all the names in the Bible and come up with 666 names? I doubt it. I'm not even going to try. Probably not. There's probably other names that God refers to Satan as that we don't know, and we won't know until later. But it is 666 names that God knows him by. Now that one I told you in Jeremiah there, one of the last ones, there's like, I don't know, 35, 50 names there in Jeremiah 25. It's all kinds. You know, no one else is giving you these things. Only God's true servant is revealing them to you. Brethren, it's time to come home. It really is. Because you're not at home where you are. All the Philadelphians will eventually end up here. They can't go anywhere else. This is where God is working. And this is where he is revealing. You are not receiving meat out there in those other man-made organizations. You really aren't. You know, I will continue to expose Satan and his counterfeit within God's church till every first fruit knows the true plan of salvation and the great last day. Brethren, come home. It's time to come home. And then you're going to really finally understand what Jesus Christ did say. The truth will make you free. And when you know this truth, it truly does make you free. And it makes you free of Satan. And makes you free of all this counterfeit and ridiculous thinking that we had before. Because it was his. Now hold on to the Sabbath. Hold on to the holy days. Hold on to the very law of God. Those things were good. There's all this other stuff. And it wasn't anyone's fault. It wasn't revealed at the time. Everything was accomplished. Mr. Armstrong accomplished what he had to finish, and he did. And we will finish what we have been given to do. So I hope that helps you out and helps open up the Bible a little bit for everybody. So until next week, have a good week, and we will see you back here on the Sabbath.